listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
It's the superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyus from It's Your Time to Travel, ready to take you around the world by air, land, or sea, even by flying saucer. And we're live on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard.
You're listening to It's Your Time to Travel on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. Subscribe to our TalkTainment Radio YouTube channel. Podcast is available, or visit www.talktainmentradio.com, or you can join the conversation at 614-401-8339. The title for today's show is COVID-19 Travel Restrictions. What you need to know if you plan to travel right now. These are the things you need to know if you plan to travel right now. But let's go back about a year ago. On March 11, 2020, the World Health Organization declared that the coronavirus outbreak had reached the level of a pandemic, with alarming levels of spread and severity. Almost immediately, international travel grounded to a halt. As countries closed their borders, airlines canceled flights, cities around the world went into lockdown. The losses in life, health, and people's livelihood continues to mount. The blow to the travel industry and all who depend on it was stunning. So these are the days after a year without travel, and we're scrambling to get it right. As vaccinations are slowing the spread of the virus, the window of opportunity to tie getting vaccinated to a less restricted lifestyle is closing. And vaccine passports are seen as a way for life to get back to normalcy. Today's show is not about vaccine passports, but about the COVID-19 PCR testing. Many international destinations require a negative COVID-19 test result taken within 72 hours of travel. Our calling guest is from Nome DX, and they provide a concierge COVID-19 PCR testing, and it's done locally, which is HIPAA compliant and CLIA certified. The PCR test is the CDC gold standard to determine if the individual is currently infected with the COVID-19 virus. And we will discuss the COVID-19 testing in the second half of the show. Our guest, her name is Paige Van Diver. She'll be calling in at 6:35. So did you know travel is a multi-billion dollar global industry employing millions of people? And what's needed for the industry to move forward is a vaccine passport. We've talked about this several times on the show. Our president has given an executive order to look into having a vaccine passport. A vaccine passport is proof that you've tested negative for or been protected against certain infections. It can be digital, like a phone app, or physical, such as a paper card. You can carry it with you and show it if required. It should be private. The data should be secure. Access to it should be free. And it should be available both digitally and in paper and in multiple languages. So this is what's needed to go forward and get everything back to normalcy. Israel already has a green card app to prove people have been vaccinated. Other countries are contemplating requiring proof of vaccinations for entry, and the World Health Organization is reviewing the idea of certifications. Just so you know, I have a note here that it was announced on Friday that many cruise lines, this just in, cruising is back. And in order to cruise, most of the cruise companies are sailing from foreign ports. Royal Caribbean just announced that they would be sailing from the Bahamas. Earlier, they talked about sailing from Israel. Most of the cruise companies that are sailing from foreign ports. They're not sailing from the U.S. But the one thing that's needed in order to sail on any of these ships is you have to be vaccinated. And for those who are not vaccinated, they have to have a PCR test. So cruising is back to a certain extent, but they're selling out of foreign ports. They're not selling from the U.S. And just to let you know that in order to sell on a cruise, you either have to be vaccinated or you have to have a PCR test completed. So that's the reason why this show today is about PCR testing, because that's what's needed to move forward and to be able to travel. Is if you're traveling internationally, you need a PCR test, okay? So I also have a special event going on tomorrow for It's Your Time to Travel. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., I am sitting in on an event hosted by New York Times Assistant Managing Editor Mark Lacey. This happens tomorrow at 7 o'clock. The name of the show or the article is called How COVID Changed Us. And the evening will begin with a virtual memorial accompanied by a solo performance from musician Wynton Marsalis. And then Mark will sit down with Maryland's Governor Larry Hogan and San Francisco Mayor London Breed to talk about the unpredictable paths that might lead us to a better future. Throughout the evening, we'll look inside the newsroom to hear firsthand what it was like to cover the pandemic from reporters around the world. And after the event concludes, I will then join in on a special conversation with New York Times graphic team as we take a behind-the-scenes look at the creation of the Times COVID tracker and get questions answered about the COVID pandemic. So this is a special event tomorrow that It's Your Time to Travel is doing with the New York Times. So that's a special event, and I look forward to talking about that on my next show. So what happens to you if you test positive while traveling abroad? A traveler's worst nightmare is when your COVID-19 test comes back positive. So these are stories that are told, and I'll get into one or two of the stories because they're pretty long. But only 10% of the U.S. population is fully vaccinated, but more people are traveling than any time in the past year. Most will return home healthy, but some will fall ill with COVID-19 and end up quarantining in a hotel or being ordered to a government facility in a foreign land if you're traveling internationally. Others will become sick enough to be hospitalized away from home, and a few would face costly air ambulance flights or worse. This is what could happen if you travel internationally and your test comes back positive. The growing number of inoculated Americans face far less risk when they travel, but it's not entirely gone. Especially with the new virus variations. Not everybody achieved full responses to the vaccine, and the immunity to the viruses may be low. What happens to people who fall sick overseas can vary widely, in part based on their pre-trip planning. Some countries have mandatory quarantine facilities for those who test positive, and people who are sent there are at the mercy of local standards. Even at the nicest hotel, policy for handling those with the virus can vary widely. Not all travel insurance covers the illnesses related to the coronavirus, and most doesn't include evacuation coverage. Some policies require travelers to be hospitalized before their coverage begins, while others only require minor problems. And travelers' expectations play a role too. So the first story I have is about a U.S. Navy veteran. Him and his wife traveled 2,000 miles from their home to the resort town of, and this is Axaca, Mexico, O-A-X-A-C-A, to use up about $400 in plane tickets they had purchased at the start of the pandemic. The couple used masks, face shields, and disinfected. But not even a week into the trip, this 56-year-old man who had asthma and his wife, who was 54, began to get headaches and running fever. They had both contacted the coronavirus and were battling it in a place where they had no doctors or health insurance and no nearby family or friends to offer support. There is no way of knowing how many people have been infected with the virus on a trip. But one insurance company provider has had 2,000 claims filed for related illnesses since June. And one medical evacuation business says that it has averaged about 3 flights a month for those with the coronavirus since the start of the pandemic. Again, this is what could happen to you if you travel internationally. And they have other stories. But this particular man that I'm talking about, things quickly deteriorated. On December 28th, after a month in the hospital with COVID-19, he died of lung infections. His wife is still recovering at their home in Tijuana, Mexico, where they had settled full-time after retirement. Their son, a 28-year-old, who flew from Tijuana to Axaca to help his parents, also was infected. They were victims to the optimism bias that is not going to happen to them. So, in the story, the story absolutely just gets worse. See if I can find it here real fast. But the story gets worse with that particular man, and he did end up dying. If I can find information, at the end of the day, even though he died, the family is facing over $1 million in bills and expect insurance to cover about 60%. They are left wondering how something that was supposed to bring joy brought so much sorrow. And this kid says he knows that his parents decided to take the trip, but they tried to take the most precautions they had. And when he was in Axaca, he could see all the foreign tourists walking around, no masks at all, just happy about life. And the kid said, people are not taking this virus seriously enough. But his father died, and they accumulated over $1 million in bills. They had to, let's see. Like I said, in his situation, he first started feeling sick. They visited a medical clinic where a doctor said he had asthma. And then a second physician eventually diagnosed COVID-19. The son said that despite his mother's illness, she ran all over town getting all the medicines, spending thousands of dollars in just medicine. And as the situation worsened, the couple called the U.S. consulate, which said no area hospitals were available. They suggested an oxygen tank. And with this man's conditions deteriorating, the couple spent $25,000 for a Mexican air ambulance to take him to the Naval Medical Center in La Jolla, California. Meanwhile, the son, who was a student at San Diego State, whose classes were remote, flew to Mexico to help his mother. He saw his father briefly before the older man was airlifted to the United States. And at that time, the son said that his father was barely alive. And he was in such bad shape, the doctors decided to sedate him before the ambulance. And this man never regained consciousness. He was transferred to Jacobs Medical Center, also in La Jolla, California, and given a high-tech treatment. His condition worsened. A doctor drove Christian and his mother around the city in search of a hospital bed. For her, the only thing available was in a private facility at a cost of about $4,000 a night. A banking glitch prevented her son's debit card from working, and his mother was nearly turned away. But he reached an uncle who offered a credit card. And his mother was in this facility for 3 nights. Christian developed a gastro problems, and he too turned out to be positive for the virus. They flew back to Tijuana on December 16th. The Jacobs Center didn't allow the mother to visit her husband until December 27th. The next day, their daughter got to see him, and they were all with him when he died the following day. He was buried on February the 8th with full military honors. The family is facing over $1 million in bills and expect insurance to cover about 60%. Wow. So you have to be careful about traveling overseas, because this could happen to anybody. And the vaccinations most likely will prevent you from dying, but may not prevent you from catching the virus. It's tragic, and I have other stories that are just as bad. There's a flight attendant that caused an international incident when she told 11,000 followers in her Instagram live video in February that she had tested positive for the coronavirus, and her 4-star Jamaican resort transferred her to a dirty hotel room that had hidden cameras, and that she was being held hostage, and they tried to traffic her. The allegations went viral, prompting the Jamaican Minister of Tourism to issue a statement saying that the Jamaican brand has been damaged. He said police confirmed that the lady had not been kidnapped and noted that she had been allowed to stay at the hotel for free instead of being moved to a government quarantine facility. This lady was later fired from JetBlue Airways, and she has not responded to requests for comments on social media. So there's another guy who runs a privileged luxury club, a membership travel group in Copenhagen. And he was at the tail end of a working trip in the Caribbean island at St. Bart's when on January 17th he woke up feeling off. His coronavirus test came back positive, and he was told to quarantine for at least 7 days, so he arranged to pay for extended time at his hotel. The next day, however, the manager asked if he would move to some nice studio that the island had for those who needed to quarantine, so the hotel wasn't subject to rumors. This man was transported by ambulance to a local sports center with basic suites. It had rubber sheets on the mattress. There was no towels. There was no blankets. There was no toilet seat. The fridge was empty, and there wasn't even a bottle of water. Luckily for him, the general manager of Eden Rock, a hotel where he had spent one night earlier in his trip, heard about his ordeal, picked him up, and drove him to a villa with 6 bedrooms, indoor and outdoor saunas, a pool, and a private beach, and the hotel gave him the use of the villa for free. Unluckily for him, he quickly became too sick to enjoy it. He said he spent 10 days basically in a fetal position in bed, coughing with a fever. They brought breakfast every morning, and he says maybe he could eat it every other day. And he said he couldn't imagine what it would have been like to be in that prison cell that this manager pulled him out of. And then he goes on to say that so now when he books clients into a hotel going internationally, he asks about the quarantine policy and if the guests won't be allowed to stay where they would be expected to go. And there's just more horrible stories. A 22-year-old university student from London didn't have the previous guy's connections. She flew to Malaysia in late December to visit his parents and had to pre-book an approved hotel for a mandatory 10-day quarantine. He opted for the least costly options, and that ran about $40 a night. When he was tested for the coronavirus in anticipation of his discharge, the results came back positive on his 9th day. So within hours, he was driven in the ambulance with 3 others to a government-run free quarantine dormitory that had soldiers posted out front. He said he was given a dingy room that came with a desk, bed, mattress, and sheet, ceiling fan, and shared bathrooms. There was no kitchen. The people living there got 3 meals a day, no running water in the room, no hand sanitizer, no pillow or blanket, no air conditioning, no laundry in the building. And most of the 20 or 30 men on the floor were assigned a roommate. But in his case, he was not assigned a roommate. But he said, however, there was no lock on the door. And a couple of times people would come in to the wrong room. They would just open up the door. No one spoke English, so he said he just stared at them and they would leave. Can you imagine being sick in a place like that? His parents brought him supplies. He used bathrooms on a different floor because they were cleaner. As for his room, there was a few bits of rubbish around, so he could tell it hadn't been fully cleaned. Still, he said he was fortunate to remain asymptomatic, and there was no point in complaining. At least he knew he wasn't going to go back home and give the virus to his parents. So, one last story. This person is a travel advisor, and she asked to only be identified by her first name. She traveled to Maldives with her 20-year-old daughter in mid-January. They both tested negative before leaving the United States. Came up negative again in Dubai, where they spent two nights en route, then twice again in the Maldives, and then they moved from one resort to another. Then 12 days into the trip, the daughter's fifth PCR test came back positive, and she was in shock. She looked at how many tests they had, and in all of their travel was custom and private. They asked for her to be tested again, and they were told no. And although her daughter's only complaints were a headache and fatigue, and they were comfortable in a luxurious private overwater bungalow, Amy feared authorities would separate them. She decided to request an evacuation using her membership with COVAC Global, a company founded to provide medical evacuations during the pandemic. Amy had paid $1,295 for 15 days of COVID Global coverage, which she booked with her trip. An air ambulance stationed in Qatar could have been ready to go quickly, but the staff wasn't vaccinated. The daughter, who remained asymptomatic, would have to spend the 24-hour flight on the stretcher in an isolation pod, a scenario this person really didn't like. And the different air ambulance was found with a vaccinated staff who agreed the daughter only needed to stay in the pod for takeoffs, landings, and refueling when being transferred between planes. All told, more than 30 people worked to make the flight happen, including getting government permission from six countries. Amy and her daughter began the evacuation on February 9th in PPE gear, with a 45-minute speedboat ride from the resort to the airport near Male, the capital. They boarded a twin-engine 800 XP jet, which had this stretcher, medical equipment, laboratory, and seating for seven. Along with them were two nurses, two pilots, who could switch out during the 16 hours it took to get them from Maldives to Ireland, with refueling stops in the United Arab Emirates and Greece. From Ireland, a second ambulance and a third crew flew them to Canada and finally to the United States. They arrived February 10th, 3 days after their original scheduled return date. Amy tested negative throughout the trip, and her daughter tested negative before boarding the air ambulance and again upon returning to her home. The extra resort stay, plus phone calls, and the cost of shipping back their luggage, since the plane was too small to carry it, cost Amy about $11,000. Had she not purchased the coverage, it would have cost her about $200,000. So there's a lot of money to pay for wanting to take an international trip if you come back and test positive. If you come back and test positive, it could cost you a lot of money. So listeners, you can join the conversation. You can join the conversation at 614-401-8339. And in the second half of the show, stay tuned for the concierge COVID-19 PCR testing for those people who insist on traveling. Travelers should weigh the risks versus rewards for themselves, as well as consider what their need to do to meet any COVID-19 restrictions and requirements whenever they're going to make travel plans internationally. And the Center for Disease Control and Prevention warns that travel increases your chance of spreading and getting COVID-19, and continue to advise Americans to delay travel and stay home to protect themselves and others from the COVID-19, even if you are vaccinated. And if you do travel, travel, the CDC encourages testing before and after your trip, avoiding crowds, practicing frequent hand washing, social distancing, and wearing a mask. Avoid travel if you are sick or have recently come in contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID-19. So, listeners, you can join the conversation at 401-833-9. Look up in the sky, it's a superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyers from It's Your Time to Travel on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
The Glory Soul Food Cafe, a taste of Southern classic, located at 3350 Allegheny Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. For carryout, call 614-237-5844 or go to DoorDash.com. Soul food specials on Wednesdays. Get the menu at LaGloriesCafe.com for the best eating in town.
That's La Glory Soul Food Cafe, 3350 Allegheny Avenue, Columbus, Ohio. For carryout, dial 614-237-5844 or go to DoorDash.com.
Now we back from paying the bills, baby. Maybe we'll fire the landlord. This next song is dedicated to all the cool cats and...
Attention, Central Ohio.
Stand by for an important message.
Someone once said, these times like all times are good times if we just know what to do. Linco Realty says this is the best time to buy or sell a home because interest rates are the lowest in history. Linco Realty has been providing real estate services for over 40 years in Central Ohio. Let us help you fire your landlord. If you have questions on pre-approvals, credit scores, down payments, financing, down payment assistance programs, schools, or other real estate questions, go to LincoRealty.com or call us at 614-375-2289. Again, 614-375-2BUY. Fire your landlord. Call us at 614-375-2289. Check out LincoRealty.com, then start packing.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33. With not one day off since. But JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
Look, up in the sky is the superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyers from It's Your Time to Travel on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. Today's show is COVID-19 travel restrictions, what you need to know if you plan to travel right now. So on March 11, 2020, the World Health Organization declared that the coronavirus outbreak had reached the level of a pandemic. With the alarming levels of spread and severity, almost immediately international travel grounded to a halt. As countries closed their borders, airlines canceled flights, and cities around the world went into lockdown. The losses in life, health, and people's livelihood continued to mount. The blow to the travel industry and all who depend on it was stunning. These are the days after a year without travel, and we're scrambling to get it right. As vaccinations are slowing, the spread of the virus, the window of opportunity to tie getting vaccinated to a less restricted lifestyle is closing. And vaccine passports are seen as a way for life to get back to normalcy. Today's show is not about vaccine passports, but about COVID-19 PRC testing. Many international destinations require a negative COVID-19 test result taken within 72 hours of travel. Our calling guest, Paige Van Diver from Gnome DX, provides
a... Paige from Gnome DX. To accept, press 1. To send...
Hello, Paige.
Hello.
Hey, Paige, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
Okay. Paige is from Gnome DX, and they provide a concierge COVID-19 PRC testing, and it's done locally, which is HIPAA compliant and CLIA certified, correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And the PCR test is a CDC gold standard to determine if the individual is currently infected with the COVID-19 virus.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, we...
Go ahead.
The PCR test is the test that a lot of the international flights are requiring to have right now. Because you can do the more rapid testing, which is the antigen testing.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't quite as accurate. It's a little more harder. It's a little harder to pick up like an asymptomatic infection for that. But the PCR testing is the gold standard for that. And they count on that to do the screening for that right now.
And how long does it take to get the results back?
It takes us about 24 hours from the time we receive the sample. So
okay.
It just depends on, you know, when we get the sample in the lab. It's not as simple as just popping it on a machine. There's actually, you know, some manual process that comes along with that. So it just depends. The only time we might have to do an extra 24 hours testing is if it comes back with some PCR tests come back inconclusive. And that could mean, you know, that there wasn't, you know, enough RNA in the sample or, you know, any number of things could happen. But we can actually do a concentration step on that. And it's about a five-fold concentration. So that takes about another 24 hours.
Okay. So how are the samples handled?
So we can test several different kinds of samples. The nasopharyngeal samples are the ones that are, people say that they feel it in their brain, but it's the ones that are, are through your nose. And then we take throat swabs, which are called oropharyngeal swabs, and that'll just go back where your tonsillar area is, which is a little better to me, that I guess it depends. It depends on your preference, I guess, whether you have a good gag reflex or not. But we do the throat swabs, and we can also do saliva samples. Some countries won't let you use saliva samples if you're trying to travel and have the PCR testing. So
mm-hmm.
you just have to be really careful and look at those requirements super carefully.
Okay.
And just make sure, especially for the number of hours, too. So, like, what kind of sample you have. So some say it can only be a swab sample, and that could be through the nose or the throat. And some, you know, so you couldn't do saliva for that. But then they also have requirements for your hours. So you have to make sure of whether it's the number of hours from the test result or from the sample collection. So you want to be careful about what those requirements say. You know, if you were 72 hours from sample collection, you would have a little more time than you would have, you know, from the sample result. So you just have to make sure that whatever lab you're going to, whatever test you're going to get is going to meet those requirements. And it's so different. There are a lot of different requirements, and some say, you know, 72 hours, some are 48, and there's a few that are 24, which is really tight.
Oh, wow. Okay. So results are provided through a secure online portal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually, when we get your sample and put you in the system, it'll send you an email saying, hey, we received your sample, and then we run the testing, and you can see in the portal, like, if you if you plug in, you'll get a token number when you get that first email. It's a unique token. So you'll have to plug that token in and then your last name, and it'll say, like, test not ready. And that means have it. It's just not ready yet.
Okay.
And then when the sample is finished, so you don't have to obsessively click refresh, which is what a lot of people do anyway. But it'll tell you, hey, your sample is ready, and you can go in and view your results, and it'll let you just download a PDF. And then we have everything in our report. It's based off of, you know, what they require. So we have the sample collection time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had to go in and, you know, change some of the parameters on our reports to meet those requirements.
So your company, NormDx, they suspended doing PGX tests so they could help in a time of crisis to provide this PCR test, correct?
Yeah, we've been around since 2013. And we did what's called pharmacogenomic testing. So we would take a cheek swab, and then we could tell you based on your genetics whether or not you should be taking certain medications or whether you might have more of a risk of side effects or of it not working at all. I know personally for me, Plavix was, I had a stent put in back in 2016, and I had my PGX test done, and it was, Plavix was like taking a sugar pill for me. So it just wouldn't work with my genetics. So I would take aspirin instead. But there are a lot of different drugs that, you know, have things on the drug label that says, hey, you know, if your genetics say this, then you might be at increased risk for, you know, blood clots with this certain medication or something like that. So we were doing PGX for a while until COVID hit, and then we were already doing, that's a PCR test as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we were already doing PCR. So when COVID hit, it was a relatively easy transition to do that. Not to say it wasn't a lot of work, but we were able to flip over. We knew that the state needed some overflow testing. So we work with the state of Ohio to validate our tests and get that running.
Okay. And your phone number in case anyone has questions and they want to contact you?
Sure. It's 614-431-6414. Okay. And you can also go on our website, which is nomdx.com. And if you click on the patient tab, we also work with some urgent care around town. We don't just do concierge testing for COVID. We do work with urgent cares. So, you know, if you don't need something that's super, super quick, and we still turn it around 24 to 48 hours if at all possible. But if you're traveling, we like to have it from the time the sample is collected until the time it goes out, because it just takes out a lot of those room for error, you know, where maybe the urgent care doesn't label the sample correctly, or you have to ship your sample and then there's shipping delays and things like that. But we do work with a lot of urgent cares as well. So you can go on our website too and check that out.
Okay. So the title of today's show is COVID-19 Travel Restrictions and What You Need to Know If You Plan to Travel Right Now. And because many international destinations require a negative COVID-19 test, we have our calling guest, Paige Vandiver from NomeDX, is talking about their concierge COVID-19 PRC testing, which is HIPAA compliant and CLIA certified, correct?
That's right. That's it.
All right. Paige, thanks for calling in.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate you clearing that up for those people who want to travel internationally and feel that they need to travel internationally. Just know that there's a place locally that provides the concierge COVID-19 PRC testing, and it's completed in about 24 hours, correct?
That's right. Yep. And we do a really good job of being personalized. We understand that travelers are, It's pretty difficult for travelers right now, honestly. It can be a really arduous process to try and get all of that together. So we kind of recognize the need there. So we really babysit your test and make sure that, you know, and we're very communicative. So if you have any questions, you can always contact us and we'll let you know where your test is.
Okay. And again, this is Noam DX, and we're talking with Paige Van Diver. The phone number to call is 614-431-6414. Paige, it was great having you on.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, maybe in the future we can get you back on.
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, have a good one. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, COVID-19 travel restrictions and what you need to know if you plan to travel right now. These are things that you should consider before you travel. Travel presents new challenges in the time of COVID-19, but the world is opening up, and more than 1 year after the pandemic was first declared, face masks and social distancing measures combined with the coronavirus vaccine rollout and widespread testing is making travel safer than it's been since the crisis began, but traveling right now still presents a risk. Travelers should weigh the risk versus the reward for themselves, as well as consider what they need to do to meet any COVID-19 restrictions and requirements wherever they're going before making plans. And here's what you need to know before traveling this spring. The CDC warns that travel increases your chance of spreading and getting COVID-19. And continue to advise Americans to delay travel and stay home to protect yourself and others from COVID-19. In the first half of the show, we gave examples of people who traveled internationally, and it did not turn out well. Only 10% of the U.S. population is fully vaccinated, but more people are traveling than any time in the past year. Most will return home healthy, but some will fall ill with COVID-19 and end up with quarantining in a hotel or being ordered to a government facility, and others will become sick enough to be hospitalized away from home, and a few would face costly air ambulance flights or worse. So, the CDC travel advice is to put off traveling and avoid travel if you are sick or have recently come in contact with someone who was positive for COVID-19 or displayed coronavirus symptoms. So, know your travel risks. According to the CDC, if you're leaving home, taking short trips by car or RV with members of your household with no stops along the way, it's the safest type of travel. The agency says longer road trips with one or more stops along the way are less safe, while road trips with people who are not in your household, long distance train or bus trips, and direct flights are even less safe. Finally, flights with layovers and cruise travel are the least safe types of travel, according to the CDC, which also points out that vacation rentals are safer than hotels. The agency recommends ordering takeout or dining outdoors rather than indoors dining or self-service options such as buffets. Okay, let's back up, because someone is offering me a buffet on Easter Day, and after reading this, I think I'm going to back off the buffet. It says the agency recommends ordering takeout or dining outdoors rather than indoor dining or self-service options such as buffet. Travelers are also advised to only interact with people from their household when traveling and to avoid spending time in large crowds in confined, poorly ventilated indoor spaces. Well, the people that went to Miami the last couple of days, they flunked that test because they had huge crowds. Face mask requirements and other safety measures. Face masks are needed 1 year into the COVID-19 pandemic, and travelers should anticipate wearing them throughout their travels for the foreseeable future. Taxi rides, flights, hotel check-ins, and most indoor public spaces will require face masks. The CDC issued an order requiring face masks to be worn by all travelers while on public transportation, including airplanes, ships, ferries, trains, subway, buses, taxis, and ride shares. And Americans traveling internationally can expect similar requirements in their destinations. In addition to face masks, travelers should to adhere to social distancing markers and keep at least 6 feet away from people outside of the travel group, even when reminders aren't present. Frequent hand washing and sanitizing is also advised. As Paige talked about, you need to know your destination and you need to understand what their requirements are. Travel restrictions and requirements are fluid in the COVID-19 era, so a majority of what you need to know to travel right now depends on your destination. For example, travelers will face a minimal resistance to visiting popular spring break destinations as Florida and Mexico, but stricter protocols if traveling to Hawaii or Aruba. For example, be sure to thoroughly research your destination and to read up on the latest restrictions, requirement, and advisories to ensure you're able to meet the necessary conditions for entry. Thorough research of the local policies in the destination will be key, but you should also prepare to be flexible as guidance may change quickly and some sites and attractions you plan to visit may be closed. Domestic travel will likely bring fewer problems for Americans this spring, as many states currently have no travel restrictions. However, travelers would be required to complete health questionnaires, present proof of a negative COVID test, or self-isolate for a select period of time upon arrival in some places. If you go to my Facebook page, It's Your Time to Travel, listed on there is the requirements for all 50 states. International travel. There are dozens of overseas destinations that Americans can travel to right now, including some that don't require a negative COVID-19 test result for entry. Mexico and the Caribbean continue to be among the most popular international places for Americans, given their relatively quick reopening, close proximity, and successful implementation of enhanced health and safety protocol. And regardless of where you plan to travel, research the latest coronavirus case numbers and rate of infection trends to ensure your destination isn't too risky for your comfort level. And be sure to read up on the latest U.S. State Department travel advisories and entry requirements so you know exactly what to expect before and when you arrive. As of January 26, 2021, the CDC requires that all travelers age 2 and older arriving in the U.S., including returning citizens, provide proof of a negative COVID-19 test result taken within 3 calendar days of departure. I'll repeat. You must provide proof of a negative COVID-19 test result taken within 3 calendar days of departure to return to the United States. Travelers can provide proof of recovery from the virus within the last 90 days to gain entries. Airlines are responsible for confirming the negative test result or proof of a recent recovery for all passengers prior to boarding, and are required to deny boarding to anyone without the proper documentation. So, COVID-19 vaccine. The ongoing COVID-19 vaccine rollout is encouraging for travel recovery, and while a vaccine won't grant travelers access to every destination, some, including Iceland, are allowing travelers with proof of a vaccine to bypass entry requirements such as a COVID-19 virus testing and mandatory quarantine. The CDC encourages getting fully vaccinated. If you're eligible to receive it, wait 2 weeks after getting your second vaccine dose before you travel. It takes time for your body to build a protection from any vaccination. So I got my second shot today. I'll wait 14 days before I travel. And I won't be traveling internationally. I'll be traveling locally. But these are the things you need to consider, what you need to know if you plan to travel right now. Cruise lines are saying that cruising is back. The CDC is saying that cruise lines is probably the worst way to travel right now with everything going on. But one of the things that cruise lines are suggesting is that everyone be vaccinated, including the crew and the guests. They also suggest a PCR test for anyone who is not vaccinated. And most of the cruise lines are selling from foreign ports. They're not selling from U.S. ports. So, man, there's a lot going on with travel. But on today's show, we talked about what you need to do if you plan to travel right now. We had a call-in guest, or Paige Van Diver from Nome DX, and they provide concierge COVID-19 PCR testing locally, which is HIPAA compliant and CLIA, and it's a CLIA certified laboratory. The PCR test is the CDC gold standard to determine if an individual is currently infected with the COVID-19 virus. The phone number to contact Nome DX at 614-401-8339. They say cruising is back. Royal Caribbean is selling out of the Bahamas. Most cruise lines are requesting that you show proof of being vaccinated. So there's a lot going on in travel. People are geeked up about traveling again. So just do your research to know what the requirements are to get into a international country. Make sure that you, if you're vaccinated, that you provide proof of being vaccinated. If you're going to travel on a cruise ship, but right now the cruise lines are saying that they're back and they're cruising from foreign ports. They're not cruising from American ports yet. So just got to be careful out there. And again, we just want you, the CDC advice is they warn that travel increases your chances of spreading and getting COVID-19, and they continue to advise Americans to delay travel and stay home to protect yourself and others from COVID-19, even if you are vaccinated. Okay, that's one of the things that they suggest. And they say you need to know and understand your risks. And according to the CDC, if you're leaving home, taking short trips by car or RV with members of your household with no stops along the way, is the safest type of travel. The agency says longer road trips with one or more stops along the way are less safe, while road trips with people who are not in your household, long distance train or bus trips, and direct flights are even less safe. And finally, flights with layovers and cruise travel are the least safe types of travel. Okay, they state cruise travel and flights with layovers are the least safe types of travel, according to the CDC. So that's today's show. COVID-19 travel restrictions, what you need to know if you plan to travel right now. And look up in the sky, it's the superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyers, able to take you around the world by air, land, or sea, even by flying saucer. And we're live on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard.